we're going to talk today on the theme of the potter's wheel. Last week, if you remember, and if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to grab a CD on the way out. They're free and just take it. We talked about the parable of the sower. If you remember, we had the four types of soils, and man, we just had a really good time talking about that. So it's kind of a natural segue into talking about the potter's wheel. So to begin this, let's just pray. Father, I just thank you for every single person here. And Lord, I believe in divine appointments. Not one person is here by accident. You have brought them here so they might hear from you. Not from me, but from you. And so Lord, I pray that that which was meant for each person here would go deep within the soil of their hearts, Lord God, that it would produce fruit and bless them and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, don't turn to it, but if you're making notes, in Psalms 139, we see that David is prophesying, and he basically says that we were formed in our mother's womb. In other words, he started the whole thing. You were not an accident in the backseat of a Chevy, okay? You understand what I'm saying? You know, the point is that you might think you're an accident. Your parents might have told you were an accident. But it is a miracle when you become a little embryo and a little baby, amen, which I believe happens right day one. You are a baby. You're not a fetus, a piece of flesh. You are a little baby, amen. God, at that moment where that cell becomes one cell and divides at that moment, God was a part of that. It's a miracle. It's a miracle, amen. And so, you know, life goes on and then you're physically born, and then somewhere along the way, you are born again. Amen? And in a sense, there's a new work that begins to happen in your life. You know, I like to think about it this way. On day one, when you were formed in your mother's womb, God took what? The clay of this world, right? If you think about it, all the elements of whatever is out there is in the ingredients of that. Plus the God part you can't see. But, you know, there's no special things that aren't found elsewhere in the dirt of the ground. In fact, when Adam and Eve were created, when Adam was created, remember, out of the dust of the ground. And literally, if you take dirt and analyze it, that's we're dirt. That's what we're made of, all right? You know, dirt and water and a few other things thrown in, and that's what makes us us. And so in a sense, we are, as Scripture says, clay vessels. And you can see that all through the Bible talking about that. But then, that's the natural part. But then there's a time where the Lord knocks on the door of our hearts, and we respond to Him and say yes, and we invite Jesus into our hearts. And guess what He begins to do again? Those same hands of the Spirit that formed us in our mother's womb then are allowed by our permission, because when you invite Jesus in as what? Savior, okay, that's to save you, and Lord, that word means master, then we have just given Him permission to begin to touch us again. Now, how many people have been to a masseuse or a, you know, chiropractor, okay, but a masseuse, a real masseuse, and you're laying there and you think, oh, this is going to feel really good, right? And I suppose it's supposed to. But what happens at the start usually? It hurts. Eric was pretty quick about saying that, right? Why? Because a true masseuse, they're not somebody just giving you a gentle back rub. They start pushing and pulling. And you're almost ready to scream and grab the person and throttle them. One time, I had a person give me a, you know, this back rub thing. I was ready to kill him. You know, I was like, get your hands off me. You know, and so sometimes you and I feel that way when the hands of the potter are on us as well. Amen? And he begins to push and to do things to us. And we're like, I'm not comfortable with this. And there's a whole variety of reasons. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But the point is, we don't always like what's going on. But we have to give permission. So if you have your Bibles, let me just show you a scripture to set this up. It's in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 11 is where we're going, Donnie. And so Peter and John, they're talking to the Sanhedrin. God had begun to move and miracles were happening, and the Sanhedrin arrests Peter and John. And so at this point, they're giving a report to the Sanhedrin. They're commenting about God, essentially. And here's what they say in Acts 4, verse 11. Referring to Jesus, of course. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, referring to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so as you look at this, first of all, the stone was rejected by the world system, by the religious leaders, yet The apostle said that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Well, any of you, have you ever done any construction? When you start to build a building, you know, especially a few years ago, you didn't have laser sights and all the stuff you've got now. You would start with a perfectly square stone at the corner. And from there, you would run strings out to establish the rest of your foundation. But that cornerstone had to be perfect. It had to be perfectly square because your string lined up with the edge of it. And so you go out 20 feet or whatever you're going to do to build your building, put the stakes in the ground, and it would be built upon that cornerstone. How many people have seen old buildings, like old schools or courthouses? You ever notice there's a stone with the date and everything on it? Well, that's the cornerstone. That was the first stone that was laid, and they would go out from there. This is real. And so here we have the Word of God telling us by the Spirit of God that Jesus is the cornerstone. Everything in our lives goes out from that, all right? Now, how many people know that stones often are not always made of stone, but they could actually be made of clay? It could be bricks in a sense. And so here we have this whole concept that you and I's lives are clay. But if we're going to establish it for it to be square and strong, it has to have the cornerstone, which is Jesus. All right? So that's pretty straight up. Now, that would be, you know, if that was it, we'd be like, okay, I get it. But then it goes on in verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So here it points out that there can't be any other cornerstone. Now, how many people know that there's lots of people who say there are other cornerstones? There are other ways to God. And they insert, you know, Buddha or Muhammad or, you know, Islam. You know, all of those things, they say that's the cornerstone. Well, where's that going to lead those people? It's not going to lead people to heaven, all right? It's not going to, and as nice as we want to be to other religions, this religion of Christianity is based upon relationship. It's unlike anything else. If you look at, listen, this maybe sounds simplistic. You have Christianity, and then you have every other religion on the other side. That's how it is. It's not like one group here and here. And here's the dividing line of it. Every other religion has a system of rules and regulations and methods to get to their God. In other words, you do this, you do that, you pay this, you be part of this group, you pray this many times, you do this. You get what I'm saying? In other words, it's a system of rules and regulations, guidelines to get to God. Well, how many people know that if your God is perfect and you're not, what on earth could you do to get to God? Impossible. And God, of course, knew that, the real God, the God of Christianity that we worship. And so what did God do? God said, they can never get to us. We have to go to them. And that's why God sent His Son to us. And so that through His death on the cross of Calvary, He created that love bridge, that sacrificial bridge that we can cross over in order to get to Him. And that's the simple, straight up answer of every other group of people compared to Christianity. And that's why there's no compromise. That's why Jesus Himself said in the Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except for by me. All right? You know, from a social point of view, you could be the nicest person in the world. It's not going to be good enough unless you know Christ as Lord and Savior. He bridged the gap. And He's the only way. Amen? And it makes it so simple. You don't have to pay money. You don't have to be part of a certain group. You don't have to be a certain color. You don't have to be born in a certain part of the world. It includes, it's an inclusive religion. In other words, there's not this special groupy thing. In other words, any person can respond to the call of Jesus in their heart. That's not true of any other religion in the world. You got to be part of a certain group or a certain, you get what I mean? There's always the catch. I thank God that Jesus is inclusive of every single person in the world if they want to respond. You know, a lot of people say, well, Christianity is narrow-minded. No, it's not. It's as wide as it can get. Jesus' arms are as wide as they could go when He hung on that cross. He didn't say, oh, no, not Brenda. I don't like Brenda. And that's not true, by the way, all right? I'm just saying, no, you get what I'm saying? That it's not like that at all. His arms were as held wide as they could go. Why? I believe that was symbolic that He was embracing the entire world. For God so what? Loved the whole world that He gave. It wasn't for God so loved this group here or only people who love me back. Not like that. The whole world and reached out His arms. Isn't that amazing? And so as we look at this now, I said all that to actually get to this point. In verse 12 again, it says, nor is there salvation in any other. Okay, and we discussed that. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That word saved in the original Greek is sozo. S-O-Z-O. All right, Z because I'm Canadian, all right? I know you guys don't say it that way, but that's how we say it up there. And so sozo, and what that actually means is not just to be saved spiritually, but it actually means to be made whole or complete. In other words, it's more than just getting to heaven, but that is putting Jesus as that cornerstone that you can have an overcomer's life as all the other bricks of truths come in place. See, you and I have a foundation. All of us do. But the problem is, that foundation is based upon all kinds of different things. What your parents told you, what your peers at school told you, what you saw on television. So all your ways of thinking, your methodology of doing things is based upon all kinds of different rocks, so to speak, of truths from all different places. In fact, if you would look at your foundation spiritually, it's kind of a patchwork of all kinds of different things from different places. Some truths, some half-truths, some outright lies, but you would never say that. Because it's part of your foundation. You believe it to be true. I would believe it to be true. And so as we begin to walk with our Lord, He then begins to show those truths that aren't truths. And we have to decide, are we going to exchange the truth of God's Word, which is absolute truth, for that brick that's not true? And so our entire lives is spent exchanging bricks, so to speak. Bringing them to the cross and saying, Lord, you know, this is the way I think about relationships. For example, I'm just using that for an example. This is the way I think about finances. And the question is, does it line up with the Word? And if it doesn't, you are left with the decision, am I going to exchange what I believe with what God's Word says? And can I tell you, that's difficult. Because you believe what you believe. That's why it's part of your foundation. Right? It's there. It's been established. You've had some experiences and you pointed back to it and said, see? There it is. You know, maybe you had a couple failed relationships and so you have difficulty in that area. So God says, look, you know, you need to begin to trust. And you're like, no, look, this happened, that happened, that you point back to that foundation stone of experience and you say, no. And then God keeps wooing you and you begin to see the truth of His Word and you begin to say, okay, Lord, it's by faith and not by sight. It's by trusting and not by experience that I need to move forward. And then you have to take that truth of His Word, and as hard as it can be, you have to cut out that brick that has been in your life for so long and bash it with a hammer and break it up into little pieces and then shoehorn that truth of God's Word in there. And it doesn't fit quite right because you're not comfortable with it yet. You haven't had an experience that fits with that truth yet. And so it's difficult, but you mortar it in with the love of God. That's the mortar that holds your whole foundation together. It's the love of God. And you begin to trust Him in that area. And all of a sudden, it clicks. All of a sudden, it works. And you're like, oh my gosh, why didn't I do this 30 years ago? Better late than never. That's all I got to say, all right? And I've got that to say of myself, all right? I'm still in the brick exchange program. All of us are until that day we cross over that threshold and are in the hands of Jesus. Amen? And so I don't fault anyone here. I don't fault myself. The idea is, as you and I walk with the Lord, that change is happening on a regular basis. Amen? If you have your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah 18. And then we're going to show you a video clip that's really, really interesting. In Jeremiah chapter 18, God actually takes Jeremiah down to a potter's house. That's what He does. And it's a place where, you know, they would make pots and different things. Now, in fact, I'm going to premise this and say we're all pots. Now, we're not crackpots. We're pots, all right? I just want you to realize that. All right. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So have a look at this first video clip, all right? And we'll come back and talk about it in a couple minutes. Now, I've made some little pots over the years, like really little ones, you know what I'm saying? But as you looked at that, did you see the effort that was involved? Did you see, you know, he didn't, the guy's little fingers weren't just worried. He literally had his chin on it, you know what I'm saying? He's hugging this thing, he's squeezing it, and he hasn't even made anything yet. In other words, what he's doing right now is just getting the impurities out of it, getting it shaped to where it goes. And so we're going to watch video two in a second. You're going to see some forming begin to happen. But can you imagine the pressure that that clay vessel, what's going through that right now? You know, imagine what's going on, that squeezing and the fingers pushed in. Think of that masseuse doing that thing to you, right? Where you're getting all that pressure. So you could see how easily, now just with this thought in mind, you might want to jump off the wheel. You might want to jump off because of the pressure and what's going on. So let's have a look at video two. Now, just so you know, that we're going to watch one last little clip. This was over an hour long, so we just chopped it so you could see. I don't think we want to see it for an hour, right? But think about that. We're impatient about even watching a pot being made. How much more are we impatient about getting made? You know what I'm saying? Just an hour long thing. But the point is, as you look, you didn't know what it was going to become, did you? You know, and you see the guy, he's digging stuff out of the middle. Now, I want you to think about this. The Lord has to dig stuff out of us. He's got to take stuff out of us to shape us the way that we need to be shaped. So just watch this last clip and then we're going to finish up. Reading Jeremiah chapter 18 verses 1 to 6 again. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." You know, as I look at the video clips, and you saw, you know, I thought it looked pretty good the second, right? You know, that I'm like, hey, that's good to go, right? And so what did he do? Ended up lopping off the top of it and remaking it into something that he wanted to. Why? He's the potter and we're the clay. And so often I think that we get to a certain point in our lives, and here's what we say. We, in a sense, look at ourselves. Not so much look at ourselves in the mirror, but we look at ourselves, we look at our foundation, we look at our lives, and here's what we say. It's good enough. It's okay. I'm getting along. It's okay. When God isn't done yet. Now, for a lot of reasons, we jump off the wheel, all right? Now, I wrote down some so I wouldn't miss too many of them. Let me just give you a list of a couple, all right? We don't think we need it. Just like I said, we're good enough, right? It's too hard. It might hurt. We don't want to give up control of the direction of our lives. We don't want to give up habits or lifestyles that lead to the problems that began. In other words, we don't want to give it up. Even though we know it's created problems, we'd still rather stay as we are. We don't trust God or His plan for our lives. You see, really, this whole concept of the potter and the clay is God doing a work called sanctification. It's the process of being made holy. It's the process of taking that which isn't good out and putting that which is good in. Now, if God was the original manufacturer, I want you to think about this. He made us in the first place, right, in our mother's womb. He then at recreation, right, when we were born again, He then again has His hands on us. And He is the manufacturer. Think about this. If a manufacturer makes a tool, then that manufacturer knows exactly what that tool was designed to do. Am I right about that? So who are we as the tool to say to the manufacturer, "I know better"? That doesn't even make any sense, does it? Isn't it better to let the manufacturer do the repairs, do the revamp, do the upgrades, whatever's necessary to make us into what we were originally designed to be so that we can bring glory to Him? And the answer, of course, yes. You know, but the problem is staying on the wheel is the problem. Now, I'm going to relay a story that happened to me, and I'm not going to get into the whole story, but about 25 years ago, Sandra and I were in a really bad place. And we were in a bad place because of me. Now, I didn't know that then, all right? So I'm confessing that up front, all right? But anyways, during this period of time, you know, I thought, listen, my bricks were in place. What I understood is the way things should be and truth, and that, this is the way it should be. My wife came from a different world where her truth bricks were different. All right? You understand what I'm saying? And so what happens is when you have two different ways of thinking come together in one household, you have a storm. You have a bunch of rock throwing. You know what I'm saying? You're, no, I'm right. No, you're right. You know, literally, sometimes stuff thrown around, all right? And I didn't throw it, just so you know, all right? My wife, you can talk to her about that. Yeah, she's not here today, but she, and she'll admit it. Yep, I threw some things, but I survived all that. But here, just to make a long story extremely, extremely short to make my point here. I remember, you know, we went through this really tough time, like really bad. I remember going for a walk out in the field, and I'm screaming at God, you know, why did you give me this woman? You know, yeah, just screaming at God, just so upset and frustrated, you know, literally in an honest kind of way. What is going on? And finally, after I calmed down, the Lord said, she's not the problem. And I said, well, what's the problem? And guess what? I'm the only guy standing out in the field. You know what God said? You're the problem. Now, the minute I heard that, I started screaming for another 10, 15 minutes more till I was so hoarse, I couldn't say anything more. I was wrung out like a rag. There's nothing left. And so there I am just standing there. Nothing left. And the Lord said, now, will you let me talk to you? I said, fine. And he said, you're the one talking to me. Let me touch and change you. And then I can begin to touch and change her. But she's not your problem. You are your problem. You see what I'm saying? That was a paradigm shift in my life. In fact, I'm going to say this. God be my witness. I am here today as the result of that one decision. Because a whole bunch of other decisions happened after that. But as I began to take responsibility and accountability to God to stay on the potter's wheel, to let him do what he needed to do in me, and not pointing the finger, it's her. It's my kids. It's this. It's that. It's my job. It's my station in life. It's finances. When I stopped doing all of that and began to take responsibility for what I could change, a paradigm shift began to happen in my life. Totally changed the way I thought. There was a truth brick that was exchanged for a lie in my life. And my life from that point on moved forward exponentially. From that point on. Now, it wasn't the only decision I made, but that one truth was a major, it was another major stone on another corner of that foundation that was necessary for me to move forward. And I dare say for you to move forward. Because up until that time, here's what I was doing. I was saying, Lord, I want to put my wife on the potter's wheel. You know, I don't need to be on that wheel. Here, you know, you mess with her, you fix her. You understand what I'm saying? That's really what I was saying. When really, yeah, the Lord wanted to do some stuff in her. She wasn't perfect, all right? But the point is, that wasn't where the issue was. I needed to be changed. You need to be changed. We all need to be changed. That on the potter's wheel thing, that's not, okay, you get on the wheel and then you're done, you get off and that's it. We're on that wheel for our whole lives, if we choose to be. Letting the Lord work and form us. Now, what's interesting, you'll notice that the potter, what did he keep adding to the clay to keep it soft? Keep adding water. Do you know that water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit in the Bible? Isn't that amazing? What a picture. Amen. You know, that water being symbolic to keep us softened and pliable. We need the Holy Spirit of God to be able to stay on the wheel. And I can tell you, the presence of God has carried me to this day. And I am a much softer person than I used to be. You're like, oh my God, what were you like before? You don't want to know me from before. You don't. I've been softened and changed by the Lord. And he's not done yet. I'm still on the wheel. He's still shaping me and forming me the way he wants me to be. He wants to do the same thing for each and every one of us. So the question I want to ask you this morning is this. Have you jumped off the wheel? You were on the wheel when you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. You surrendered and it was genuine. I have no doubt in my mind. But somewhere along the way, we tend to jump off and jump back on and jump off. So let me ask you this question. Are you on the wheel? Or are you off the wheel at this point in your life? Now, let me give you a couple of litmus tests for whether you're on or off. If you're pointing the finger at other things, saying it's because of this or this or this that I'm like this or I feel like this, you're off the wheel. You're off the wheel. Because when you're on the wheel, you're not pointing the fingers. You're letting the hands of your Lord shape you and shift you. Amen? Just in closing, there's a scripture. It's Philippians 3, verse 12. And the Apostle Paul says this. In fact, put it up, will you? He says this one thing. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or I am already perfected. This is the Apostle Paul. In other words, you know what he's saying? I'm still on the potter's wheel. That's what he's saying. I haven't arrived yet. I'm still being shaped. But I press on that I may lay hold of that. Look at this. For which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Think about that piece of clay and that potter. He had his hands wrapped around it to such a point his neck is on it. And think about that. If that piece of clay could have arms as well, it would be reaching back out. And in a sense, that's you and I, and that's that scripture. Press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. In other words, when you want to get off the potter's wheel, you cling so much to Jesus, and no matter how hard it hurts as he's squeezing and digging and doing all this stuff, that you're not going to let go, and you know he's not going to let go, and you won't get off the wheel until he finishes that work. Amen? And that's my heart for each and every one of you. That's for this church in general, that we can be that clay pot that brings honor and glory to God. That when people on the outside look at you and look at us as a body, that yeah, we're not finished yet. We still got some rough areas. We still, you know, we're not quite done yet. But Jesus is doing something. Amen. Now, what's interesting, and this is just a teaser, and I have no idea whether Pastor Vic's going to go this direction next week. But can I tell you something? Just because you're on the wheel and you're finished and all looks nice, you're known as greenware. That's the term used as something that's been made like that. And you can't be used. In other words, if you put water in it, you absorb the water, you know, it won't work. In fact, it had a crack, it's soft, there's all kinds of issues. You have to be what? Fired. You have to take the pot, and now it goes in a furnace. Yeah, yeah. Lexa's like, whoa, are we done? Yeah, what the heck? And I believe that talks about the firing of the Holy Spirit, that there's a trial of fire that you go through to be refined to that perfection. But that's a whole nother story, amen? Let's just stay on the wheel today, all right? Let's just do that. Let's stand and pray together, amen? One thing at a time, amen? Because once that firing happens, there's a hardening, can't be changed then. So the idea is, you want to be complete and perfect for the master's service before that firing happens. Amen. Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you are the potter and we're the clay. And sometimes, Lord, we want to be the potter and the clay. We want to shape ourselves the way we want to be. But Lord God, you know what's best. And so, Lord, we confess that with our mouths, that you know what's best. Let's say that together. You know what's best. And Lord, we confess that, and we're going to do our best to believe it. And as an act of faith, we're going to stay on the potter's wheel, so you can complete that work. And Lord, even though we look so different from beginning to end, that Lord God, through the process you're with us, and you'll take us to that conclusion, to that shape, to that person, to that character you've designed us to be from the very beginning of time. And Lord God, that we can be fit for the master's service, being a vessel poured out, Lord God, to pour out your Holy Spirit upon those around us, upon our family members, upon the people we interact with in the world, Lord God, that your love might be displayed through us, your chosen vessels. So Lord, just bless every person, Lord. I pray that this was a time of encouragement, Lord God. And if they don't remember anything, to remember this, stay on the wheel. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you'd like prayer for anything, love to pray with you. God bless you this morning.